I'm thrilled to share this conversation with you. It is an important topic. We're talking to Stephanie Buckley, who is an alternative pain management coach. She specializes in helping women living with chronic pain return to the physical activities they love. She supports women along their journey in taking their power back from pain. We talk a lot about the narratives we have around pain, and she weaves her own personal experience as a patient along with 6+ years of clinical experience as a physical therapist. She's also armed with a bachelor's in science, physiology, pharmacology, a master's in physical therapy, and she has created her own approach to pain management based on her knowledge of pain neuroscience, clinical experience, and her own personal experience. And she truly believes that when it comes to long-lasting change in the realm of chronic pain, we have to dive deep physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So this is a good one. Don't want to miss. Welcome to season 5 of the Wellness as a Way of Life podcast, the less is more source of wellness, knowledge, wisdom, and inspiration for female leaders and founders. Here, we teach you why not all wellness trends are for you, how to figure out which ones are, and how to best adapt them for your own personal wellness toolbox. Ultimately, we need to know how to integrate your wellness practices so fully that they become to feel like brushing your teeth, a foundational part of who you are and not a checkmark on your to-do list. I'm your host, Megan Swan, creator of the Wellness as a Way of Life community and the Sustainable Integrated Wellness Approach. I have more than a decade of experience in the wellness industry and on my own personal journey. Learning how to tune into and trust my intuition and drown out all the noise. As a certified health coach, detoxification expert, plant-based chef, yoga teacher, and consultant, I will help you distill down the information overload and feel more confident and at ease in your own skin. Welcome, Stephanie. I'm so excited for this conversation. I know that you have such a depth of knowledge and wisdom when it comes to everything pain management and healing and recovery. And I know you're going to enlighten us so much. So why don't you start by introducing yourself just a little bit? Like, what is your personal journey to becoming an alternative pain management coach?
Yeah, well, first off, Megan, thank you so much for having me. I've been very excited. I'll try to put a long story short. So my background, I actually used to work as a physical therapist, and that's where I really found my passion for pain neuroscience. And so I did a lot of my continued education in that area. And as I was working, I found that there were some gaps in helping people with pain in the current medical system. And so I was starting to think outside the box and how we can maybe help people with pain. So kind of professionally, that's what was going on. And then parallel with my personal life, I developed chronic pain myself. Growing up, got lots of sports injuries. I kept us physios with work. But basically over time, what happened is I gradually went from an active lifestyle to a sedentary one. And among all of that, work became my life. I didn't have that balance, and I got diagnosed with depression. And when I was diagnosed with depression, it really put things into perspective for me to really take a look at what was important to me, which ultimately was my health. And that was a big shift of my mindset of choosing to put me first. And so along my healing journey with depression, what I found fascinating was as I healed in that area, my physical health started to change in ways I'd never seen before. And so I kind of have explored in my own healing, my own perfect recipe of a combination of conventional, but then also a lot of alternative pain management strategies. And I know I'm not alone in the world of dealing with pain, so I really wanted to share that. And so I left my physiotherapy practice and decided to start my own business as an alternative pain management coach. So that's a little bit of how I got to here today.
Beautiful. I love how you kind of parsed out the sort of domino effect there of, you just started living in a scenario where, you either did believe or you were kind of given this idea that it's not going to get a whole lot better. And so you just decided to be less active. And that had such a profound impact on your life little by little. And I would love to know for you, like at what point, or, was it a conscious decision that you just stopped participating in sports, let's say, or was it something where the story you were telling yourself was making you see it differently, and then gradually over time it shifted? And I love, by the way, that you started, because I think lots of people, we think we're talking about chronic pain, they think like elderly people or people like way further along in life. And I think it's really common as children and even teenagers to get these sort of hardcore injuries and never really have them dealt with properly, or really like develop these stories so early on that we never quite get out of the narrative and fully find joy and mobility again.
Yeah, and in answer to your first question, I think it's a combination of the changes were maybe gradual subconsciously, but then there was also kind of a more clear point of basically what it was is I started to become afraid of movement. So it would have been I was in my early 20s and I was dealing with a hip injury and I was trying everything. I was diligent with my physio home program and it helped me to a point, but what happened during that time was I just stopped being physically active because I was afraid of making my hip pain worse. And so, kind of what happened is that also changed, like, I lost my community. Being active, I was more in sport. For me, soccer was my sport, but I enjoyed lots of sports. And so that was kind of my network in how I would spend time with people. It was also a big part of my identity in that that's how I was physically active. That's where I felt confident, built my self-esteem. And so there were lots of layers there that then got affected. And at the time, I wouldn't have thought or defined that I had chronic pain. And I think that that might be common for a lot of people. Just as you said, chronic pain, we kind of think of maybe elderly or certain conditions, perhaps like fibromyalgia or something like that, which isn't age dependent. But we don't really think about it at a younger age, teens, early adulthood, of what can happen over time with injuries or even just one injury in particular. So yeah, I think that that was, I kind of had a combo effect. And then certainly what stopped me from being active was my fear. And it took a lot to actually recognize that fear and find the tools to help me through that.
Yeah, that's huge. And I love that you highlight that, there was just so many pieces there, identity, confidence, community, like so many things that were taken away from you, or really like you started to develop this relationship of like, I want to be there, but I also don't want to be in more pain. So I'm assuming you were working with a physiotherapist personally at that time. Like, what was the sort of back and forth? Were you communicating your fear, and what was the response you were getting, if any?
I honestly, I wasn't communicating my fear. I was not aware of it. I may have phrased it, and I don't know like exact words, but maybe of I'm nervous to get back to. But honestly, never had a conversation in terms of how I was mentally and emotionally feeling. I did reach a point where I was able to get back to soccer, played one game. And then it flared the next week just in my own training. So there wasn't that conversation of that mental and emotional aspect. And I'd say at that time, I knew I was afraid, but honestly, not really. I didn't know how deep that fear went. And so I essentially stopped playing sports. I'd always be nervous for social activities that involved physical activity. As an example, I remember I went on a hike with some girlfriends, and I was just in my head worrying about my pain. Like, okay, is this going to do me in? Am I going to get worse? Oh, I kind of feel it. And so instead of being able to be fully present and enjoy that hike, I did have fun because you got to visit, right? But then there was this whole other underlying story and experience that was going on. And so eventually, I kind of stopped doing those things, or I would go, but my pain would get in the way and felt like I couldn't get like the full experience.
Yeah. So even as your work as a professional or as a patient, what was your experience in general with, tools that you had, or was it just completely off the table, the psychosomatic piece of pain? Were you as a practitioner asking patients like how are they emotionally feeling about this? Or that's it's just like very much kept to sort of like the physical treatment.
In terms of, so what I will say firstly is in our education as a physical therapist, we are taught about the importance of that psychological aspect. So at the time when I went to school, it was referred to as the biopsychosocial model. In other words, in order to help people recover or heal from injury, we need to address it physically. So that's the bio aspect of biopsychosocial, but then also the psychology and our environment. So that could be social, that could be your direct environment. And I think it's great we're taught that, but where one piece is lacking in the education is as new grads of physiotherapy. In our school, we're not provided with tools on how to help our clients address those other factors. So I think that that's a big place of where the profession can grow. And I also just want to say, like, I'm not putting down on physiotherapy or any other type of what may be termed a more conventional treatment or therapy, like chiro, massage, dry needling. I mean, there's a whole host of them, and they all played a role in my healing and helped. I just found I needed more for kind of those areas that weren't being addressed. So, yeah, I didn't dive deep into the mental and emotional aspect of my injury while as a patient myself. In terms of when I was working as a physio, I'd say one of the gifts that depression did give me was being able to actually see how mental health greatly affects a person's ability to heal from a physical injury. So I had a much better understanding if someone came in and said, you know what, I've changed my meds, I didn't do my home program. Like that's the common thing, right? People feel so bad they didn't do their home exercise program. And so it became more of a shift of, hey, don't worry about it. How can we give you tools as you're going through this med change? So then you can get back to that program, or we change it and it evolves from there. So I made that transition in my care in terms of treatment planning. But given the time we get, we can only go so far. So I feel what lacks is the time. And that's just how our model is right now, right? Is there's limited time with practitioners. Physios are fortunate in that we get to spend more time with our patients in comparison to a family doctor. But that was one of the big gaps is in order to truly heal, we have to dive deep, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. So it goes a lot deeper than, oh, I injured my hamstrings and I have to do this stretch. That works for some people, but if there are recurring, flares, we got to look deeper.
Yeah. I love everything that you're saying, and I completely agree and acknowledge, there's it's really important that we have, multi-layered treatment options, like there's not one solution or one sort of scenario that works for absolutely everybody. It's really feeling a little bit more open and free to consider, layering alternative things with the classical physiotherapy, for example. I'd love to know, like, at what point for you did you even sort of realize that there's like a story that you were telling yourself about, that you can't play soccer, let's say?
Yeah, so I had a few aha moments. So the first big aha moment I had was realizing the pain I was experiencing didn't mean injury or re-injury. It was actually my nervous system was on extra high alert and trying to protect me from future injury because it remembers. That's what's really neat about the nervous system is it goes, remember last time when we did this, it wasn't so good. And the pain can feel the exact same as when you first experience an injury. And so that was my first aha of going, oh, this pain doesn't mean I've re-injured. And then I had tools on what to do when that would pop up. So that was the first, I think, story, right, of I can't play soccer because I'm gonna make it worse. Fear of injury. I think that's a really common one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the first aha. The second big aha was realizing, and this may be hard to hear for some people, but is I was the one getting in my own way of healing. And that came from, yes, the fears. But also, it's scary doing something different. I had been used to for years dealing with this injury. And at first, when I was kind of reflecting on that, I actually thought, well, no, it's I didn't get myself in the way, right? It's that defensive reaction, right? And so, but once I was able to let that flow through, I was actually able to go, oh, yeah, I'm now the one stopping me. And so it's kind of like yeah, I have the fears and my nervous system that's on high alert. And then I have myself that's also fueling that response because I'm not letting my body try to move and do new things again. And so one of the big phrases that then came to me was, okay, if I get these fears, these thoughts, was, okay, would I go do this if I wasn't in pain? If the answer was yes, then I was going to go do it and use my tools to do it differently. It might not look like how I did it before, and that's okay. And so that really helped me gradually start to change those stories and challenge those fears. I still get them, I'm human, but because I've seen the success and gradually I'm changing and learning how to take care of my body and listen, it's not as strong.
Yeah. So do you have like a litmus test? Because when I hear you say that, I'm already thinking of someone who's suffering from chronic pain with the butt defensiveness, mind's different story, instead of really considering like, are they playing a part or is part of them, has part of them built an identity, a new identity around this pain or this pain story that they're not really even willing to consider? A part of them is kind of happy in this new status quo versus like truly getting to another side, which might not be 100% pain-free, which is another thing I want to ask you about after. But what can someone sort of ask themselves, or maybe even ask their physiotherapist, to what degree am I, do you feel like I'm, or they feel like they're stuck versus it's real, because I do want to honor that so many patients tend to feel like they're not necessarily being heard, or you know, they come up against resistance of really being believed all the time to the degree that they're suffering. Like, I think that is a thing. But at the same time, I think it's also a thing that some people are stuck with this story because, let's face it, it's the familiar. So on some level, even if it's uncomfortable, maybe it's safe. It's what they know.
Yeah, I will definitely just echo. I agree that I think what's really important is we're not saying it's your fault that you're in pain. I think also a lot of messaging people get is, like you said, they're not heard. Unfortunately, I've heard people have been told it's all in your head, you're making it up. I just want to first say, like, that is not true. And if that has been your experience, I'm sorry that that has happened. Your pain is very real. And so that's something we need to be really respectful of. And so when I say, in terms of myself, I was getting in my own way, is trying to come at it from a place of non-judgment. So I think the first thing is, if someone's feeling stuck, is to just take the time to reflect. So I like to journal. You can journal if you want, or even if it's just a mental reflection. The first thing was, I would encourage people to just write their fears when it comes to their pain. I think that that's where I would start, because I think the big thing is we're not aware of those fears and limiting beliefs. So if we're not aware, we can't change them. So if a person is feeling stuck, then that's where I would start to explore the deeper relationship of yourself, your beliefs of your pain, and your relationship with your pain. So even if you are seeing a physiotherapist, maybe you guys have hit a plateau. I've been there in that. We'll talk about, ask them, like, what about, like, are there other things outside of the physical I could be looking at, right? Like, they know you. I'm sure they've gotten to know your story. And so that can start to introduce a new way of adding to your plan and kind of shifting our perspective and mindset on what recovery and healing can look like. Well, that's kind of where I would encourage people to start, and be gentle, be kind with yourself. It's not a reflection of who you are if you've been dealing with pain for X amount of time. It's just been your experience, and you can change it.
Yeah, I love everything you said there. So is there anything else you want to add there in terms of maybe stories that you know are kind of common in the system that are fed, that people might have adopted and they don't necessarily even consider that's a story? They almost think it's fact or just how it is.
Yeah, I think there are just underlying things that we may not be aware of. The one thing is, I'd say our current mindset when it comes to injury, pain, recovery is we need to fix it. And fix it can, I think, lead people astray of what recovery looks like. In other words, you have an injury, typically you go see your doctor, you might get referred for some other kind of treatment. And a lot of it is looking externally. And we do need, it's very important to have experts in that field of what we're dealing with so they can guide us. But I also think it's really important, I think what would be different that we're not aware of is looking at all those other pieces we've been talking about. And so the relationship of ourself with pain, how do we treat ourselves when we're in pain? I know myself, when I started doing this work, I was so mean to myself. And so I think that that's kind of what would maybe be different in terms of the current system. The other one, which this could be a whole topic in and of itself, which I won't go into, but the message of no pain, no gain. And I know for myself, growing up playing soccer and in the athlete kind of world or sport world, it's valued if you experience pain in terms of you're pushing yourself as hard as you possibly can. Like I remember we'd be comparing bruises on our knees from slide tackles. Like that was just the mentality. And that didn't help me in
Yeah,
terms of
so
healing.
problematic. I can relate from the yoga world where there's a lot of dogma around, the wisdom that you can potentially gain from sitting in discomfort. But of course, someone who's new to yoga or even new to like the mind-body connection, like what does pain even mean until, you've reached your threshold and potentially injured yourself, right? Like it's so subjective when you're saying giving instructions like that. And so from my perspective, like problematic at the very least, dangerous. So yeah, I love how you highlight that and the external piece in terms of, fixing. So let's just sort of come full circle. I love that you talk about pain mindset. I think that's like a great way of phrasing it for people. Like you can improve the way you're approaching your healing journey by shifting your mindset and being more open to like all the things that it can include. And I'd love to know, like, for just let's go back to you personally. How have you redefined that for yourself and maybe come to understand that, like, you're not seeking absolutely pain-free movement to be, healed or successful or however you want to define your end point? And is there an end point?
All great questions. I'm excited to answer. So I think the first thing in terms of with pain is understanding what your pain is trying to tell you. So I think that there is something really important when you're dealing with pain and recovery is it takes trial and error, but you got to figure out, is this the pain that's telling me, oh, I'm just not used to this? Or is this the pain telling me I really do need to listen and stop, take a break? Maybe that's good for today. So personally, that's a big piece, and I've completely shifted what exercise means to me or being successfully active. So traditionally, I would have thought, okay, I need to go to the gym 3 to 5 times a week, and I'm going to do a running program. I got to do X runs a week. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that never worked for me. Like it was never sustainable. And so instead, I started looking at viewing exercise instead using the word of movement. So, how can I move more in a day? And I developed a lot of different movement practices so I have options. So, my goal is in my mornings, I do my meditation and then some kind of movement, but it's not a hard, oh, I have to go do yoga. I have to go do a run tomorrow. It's tuning into my body and then asking what it needs that day. Maybe that day it just needs meditation or more of a restorative yoga. Or maybe it's a day when, you know what, I need to get outside and go for a walk. And so instead of viewing it as like an exercise program, it's more of a lifestyle of movement. And I will share one piece. What I found fascinating with this is a goal of mine was last year, my sister and I wanted to walk a 5K, and because it was in support of women's mental health. And so I was extremely nervous, but we did it together. And I didn't do any specific traditional training, I just did my movement routines, and my body was able to go and walk a 5K. And that was a big, like, holy smokes moment because it is totally different than our current messaging of what exercise needs to look like. So, for me, it was developing a toolbox of multiple movement practices that I enjoy. Because if I enjoy it, I'm going to keep doing it.
My goodness, love all that. So, how can people work with you? What's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, totally. So the best way to connect with me would be on LinkedIn. So if you just search my name on LinkedIn, Stephanie Buckley, you will see my page there and you can message me. Also from there, it will guide you to my blog where you can join my email list. So that's where you can get in touch with me in terms of what could it look like. Right now I'm doing one-on-one coaching. And so if that's something you're interested in on my LinkedIn profile, you can book a free discovery call so we can meet and just chat and see what's going on.
Any sort of last little encouraging words of wisdom for somebody who, this kind of framing of pain is very new, and they're maybe in that stuck place of thinking it's not going to get any better.
Yeah, and I guess to anyone who's in that position, like, my heart goes out to you. You're not alone. And I really know it's not easy, but I want you to know that change is possible and there's hope. I truly believe the human body is capable of amazing things. And so I invite you to explore what your body's trying to tell you and see how you can work with it differently. And I think you'll be really surprised of the things that you can do.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for all of your wisdom. I always enjoy talking to you about pain science and all of the different ways that we can improve our pain mindset. So we'll leave all of the information that you mentioned in the show notes so people can easily connect with you. And thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey there, one last thing I wanted to share with you. If you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you could rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. It really does help us grow the show, and this being so important to me to get this message out to more women to help them optimize their wellness and ultimately their lives. This is my mission, and I would greatly appreciate it if you could support the podcast by rating and reviewing. Thanks in advance. Have a good one.